This is Girl with a Podcast. My life basically revolves around watching Bravo and drinking alcohol. I'm the modern day Bridget Jones if she was Jewish and not annoying. No, seriously, if sitting on your couch was an Olympic sport, I would win gold.
Alrighty, everyone, welcome to another episode of Girl with a Podcast by your favorite girl, Girl with No Job. Sorry, I'm back. I'm like lost in PK and Doree mode where I just make up accents from places I visited, so sorry, I'll shake it off eventually. But hi, everyone, welcome to a fourth episode of Girl with a Podcast. I cannot believe that it's been four episodes already. I feel like from the time that I started, which was over a month ago, I've literally accomplished nothing because this podcast is taking over my fucking life. But it's okay. I do it for the people. I do it for the fans, you know? Wow, I'm so annoying. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It was a very eventful week in Guangland. Lots happened. We have lots to discuss. First off, we're talking about The Bachelor, thank God, because I have so much to say now that the boil on the ass of humanity known as Taylor is gone from our lives forever. Cannot fucking stand her. We're talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Lots going on over there. I'm taking your questions again because I got a lot of great questions from you guys via email and Twitter. And then lastly, I'm going to do some of my thoughts. You know, I had really good thoughts last week. And I want to start with one thing I was talking about last week, which was the whole concept of homeless women having bras. If you didn't listen to the episode, you know that I basically was just wondering, like, do homeless women have bras? Do they have tampons? Like, who gives them their feminine needs? And a lot of you reached out to me about a really great organization called Distributing Dignity. Their website is distributingdignity.org. They basically distribute pads, tampons, bras, other feminine products to women in need. So I'm so glad that you guys let me know about that because it's a great organization. Everyone should donate their time, donate money if you can. It's a really great organization, and I encourage you all to get involved.
Coming up on the most dramatic episode in Bachelor history.
Actually, Chris Harrison, this is actually the opposite of the most dramatic episode yet. It was probably one of the most boring ones in a while, and I was really disappointed. Not only they went to New Orleans, like, all the dates were planned so poorly, and see, like, nothing even happened because the one thing we thought happened didn't because Taylor came back. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to start at the very beginning of the episode, which is the rose ceremony. Nothing really major happened. Like, Corinne and Taylor both got roses, and obviously that was going to happen. But they sent Sarah and Astrid home. So Sarah is the girl who looks like Sarah Hyland. She wore the running sneakers on the first day. And then Astrid was the girl who was a huge boobs who was running in last week's episode during the, like, triathlon. And she won because, like, everybody broke the ring and she picked it up, blah, blah, blah. Two really good contenders. I was actually really surprised. They went home both super cute. Both had somewhat of a connection with Nick. And it just, like, boggles my mind that they get sent home. But girls like Jamie, who has the bull ring in her nose, and Josephine, who looks like Kim Zolciak 10 years ago, are still around. I don't think either of them have even kissed Nick. So what qualifies them to stick around over Sarah and Astrid, who both have had bigger connections than either of them? I don't really understand, like, the Bachelor thinking of when to send girls home, because it really does not make sense in my mind. But I guess I'm not a producer, and I can't really comment on things like that, even though I feel like that's an unfair statement. But whatever. Everyone's like, who's going to go home, Taylor or Corinne? Don't be dumb. They're not going to tell us this early in the episode who's going home. It's totally going to be a to-be-continued moment, and I was right. But the ladies pack up. They go to New Orleans. They act, like, so excited that they're going to New Orleans. Like, people get to go to Croatia, Jamaica. They have to go to New Orleans? It sucks. And, sorry, no offense to anyone who's from New Orleans. And I love when they, like, get the shots of the girls, like, running into the hotel room, like, oh my God, this isn't, like, they've never seen a hotel room before. And it's like a bed and a couch. It's nothing. It's just a room. I guess they've been shackled up in that bachelor mansion for so long that any room with windows is good, but still seems a little excessive, a little dramatized. Like, oh my God, this room, these windows, this bed, I can't. No, I can't. Sorry. Moving on. One-on-one date with Rachel, who is from Dallas. She got the first impression rose. Super cute. I was, like, a little surprised that she wore that outfit, not only on a date, but on national television. It was just awful. Her shirt was so small. Her shorts were so big, and her hair was not brushed. It's like, girl, you're trying to win someone's heart over 50 other girls, and you're on national television. Like, put in a little effort, sweetie. But she did clean it up for the night part where they go out for drinks. But Back to the date. They, like, walk around some flea market, like, how fancy. Girls get to go on private planes. Like, Vanessa literally had her own plane on her date, but Rachel literally goes to a flea market in the middle of Louisiana and dances in the street, and she's supposed to feel, like, lucky. I don't know. Seemed a little unfair, but something that really made me feel, like, upset about her date was this band, like, shows up out of nowhere, which is so classic Bachelor. That's not what bothered me, is that they are just, like, start dancing, and I just really, like, wanted to crawl under a rock and die and never talk to anyone again because it was so uncomfortable. Like, she's cute. She has rhythm. She's bopping her booty, you know? And Nick is, like, standing there, and I just literally can't even with how awkward it is. Like, please don't ever make us watch that ever again. It was so painful. It was so terrible. It was so cringy. Like, why do they subject us to that type of torture, you know? Sorry, I got, like, a little sidetracked. What happens after that is Rachel and Nick go for dinner where nobody eats anything. Like, how is that fun? And Rachel's really not subtle in telling Nick that the last time she was here was for a funeral. It was just, like, really an awkward way of segueing into, like, I've been through stuff. She goes, yeah, like, New Orleans is great. The last time I was here was for a funeral. And Nick's like, I'm so, actually, he doesn't really talk. He's like, I'm sorry. You know, I'm really sorry about that. What is that with Nick? Like, he talks like, he always has a mouth full of, like, Doritos. He talks like his jaw was wired shut. I don't know what it is. He has, like, a, he talks like Brielle Bierman. You know, like, here's my fresh mouth. I don't know what it is. It's really frustrating because he's supposed to be, like, the star of a show, and he never speaks because he physically cannot speak. But I'm getting sidetracked. Sorry. She basically makes him feel really weird. She was here for your funeral and learned how short life is, which is, I guess, why she's decided to go on The Bachelorette. I feel like once you have one of those moments where you realize how short life is, you don't go on The Bachelorette. You go, like, bungee jumping and skydiving, something that really makes you feel alive. I just don't really know how alive Rachel could be feeling on a show where she's not allowed to have a cell phone for months and is competing with 3,000 other women for one guy's heart, and she probably is not going to win. So I don't really know what that has to do with the funeral, but I guess I'll buy into it. Overall, it was a cute date. She got the rose. I think he actually is really into her, which makes me like Nick because she's a stand-up gal. I just was not feeling her physical aesthetic last night. She could have done better. Like, come on, this is ABC, prime time. Pull it together. Date card comes. All the girls are, like, praying that they get on the date card because they don't want to be on the two-on-one. So, obviously, the two-on-one is left to be with Corinne and Taylor. Like, wow, I didn't call that or anything. All the girls so excited for their date until they find out that it's on a haunted plantation. I don't know. I just feel like the Bachelor franchise has been, you know, getting in a lot of trouble for not being diverse enough. And I just think having a date on a plantation in Louisiana is kind of, I don't know, a little low. And I'm surprised more people aren't up in arms about it because I was offended and I don't even have any right to be. So I think people should be talking about that more, first of all. Second of all, like, what the fuck? Who would want to go on a date with 3,000 other people to a haunted house? First of all, I was not buying, oh, the last time May was here, she was with her doll. Don't touch the doll. I was totally on Team Jasmine. Like, fuck this shit. I'm touching the doll. So stupid. Like, a lot of the times I get frustrated with the Bachelor producers because, like, how dumb do they truly, truly, truly think we are that we would buy into this haunted house thing? And Nick really didn't get to talk to any of the girls. He was busy, like, on his Ouija board. But Danielle M did get the rose, which I thought was good. She's cute. I feel like the only reason she stuck around so long is because she has amazing hair. And really, that's it. And her voice is like, I really feel like I could be falling in love with you, Nick. You know, one of those. I hate people who don't enunciate. Really uneventful date. And I feel like Alexis, who is Shark Girl, was there, and I didn't get to see her at all. I'm so upset about it. I think she's one of the greatest characters on the show. She's hilarious, has such a good personality, and she's always shafted to the credits. Like, the second the show's over, they do some weird scene about her talking about Nicolas Cage. Like, what is that? She deserves more than the credits. She deserves way more than that, you know? And then finally, the moment we've all been waiting for weeks is the two-on-one with Corinne and Taylor. And I had a pretty good feeling Taylor was going to be the one sent home because I'm not done with Corinne yet, and I don't think America is either, you know? Like, she adds so much value to the show, and it wouldn't be the same season without her. So I knew she wasn't going home, but the path that it took to get there was quite bizarre. And I'll just start from the beginning. They had a swamp date where they took a boat. They were both, like, holding his hands on the boat. It looked like a fucking episode of Sister Wives on TLC. They're both holding his hand, going through some alligator swamp, and they land on this weird, like, island. I don't even know what it was. And there's like a whole team of voodoo people getting ready to read their tarot cards and give them spiritual guidance. And the tension is literally building so much. It's amazing. And they're in this swamp. And I feel like one of them's going to get eaten by an alligator. And it's amazing. So they sit down for their reading, and the tarot card reader decides it'd be better to do them by themselves. So Corinne finally gets a moment with Nick to explain what a vile creature and bully Taylor is, and he's really receptive to it, which made me really happy. He fully confronted Taylor when it was Corinne's turn to get read, and he was like, Corinne says you're bullying her. What up? Totally back turned to her corner. She couldn't say anything. And the scene where the two of them just spoke to Nick are sitting down at the tarot card reader's table and are silent but then start speaking is literally one of the greatest moments in Bachelor history, because Corinne says, it literally blows my mind that you give advice to people. And it's so true. Taylor is seriously the most manipulative, condescending, rude motherfucker I've ever met. And the fact that she could be in charge of other people's mental health is staggering, because her mental health is so fucked, it's beyond. And ready for something I found out that's going to blow your fucking mind if you don't already know this? Taylor, who claims Corinne is not emotionally intelligent or mature enough for a relationship with Nick, Taylor, yeah, is younger than Corinne. Younger. Do you hear what I'm saying? So she's giving all this sage advice. She's so fucking wise. She's 23 fucking years old and Corinne is 24. What the hell do you know? Oh my God, she gets me so heated every time I talk about her. Every time I just look at her. When he gave Corinne the rose, literally every organ in my body was like pumping blood at a rate that is not humanly possible. Like, I was so fucking pleased. I usually don't get this involved. Like, actually I do, but emotionally. Taylor has struck a nerve inside me that is not comparable to anything ever, ever, ever. Period. And when I thought we were done with her, we obviously weren't. She pulled a Chase McNary, comes back after they're eliminated. She's gonna try, I don't know what she's gonna do, but they're trying to make us think that they're going to send Corinne and Taylor home next week, but I don't think so. Taylor's gone. Corinne's not. Trust me. She's too important to the narrative. Even if she doesn't win, I don't care. She's too important to the narrative. Yes, I realize that I just repeated myself, but that's okay. I want to jump into a new segment. Not new, but another segment, Q&A. A lot of you guys have been emailing me certain things you want me to speak about. So first up, we have from Marie. Hi, Gwanj. I have a question that I hope you'll answer. What's your stance on the Katie and Stassi versus Ariana situation going on in Vanderpump Rules? Whose side are you on? I don't really do recaps of Vanderpump Rules this season because I feel like really nothing's going on and I don't want to waste your time. Like, you know something's wrong if I'm on Sheena's side because she's caught in the middle. I think everyone's wrong in Vanderpump Rules. Like, I don't care who you are, you're wrong. So I don't really want to do recaps on it, but this is a good question because I actually feel really strongly. My sister Jackie, like, pointed this out, and I really think it's true that if Stassi and Ariana could put their differences aside for 5 minutes, they would actually be really good friends. They're both very snarky and very funny, and I feel like we haven't been able to see a proper Ariana-Stassi relationship, but if we could, it would be amazing. Like, I don't know, they give me like similar vibes, they are similar aesthetics. I think there's a power couple hidden, and in a few seasons I really hope that they'll give each other a chance because I do think that they're really good together. But in terms of the argument, I think Stassi is, what do I think? I think Stassi is a little bit mean, and I think Ariana's a little too cool. Like, I don't love Ariana's like, yeah, I just like to hang with the guys vibe, and I don't really like Stassi's attitude when she's with Kristen and Katie. I just think it's bad news. So that's a vague answer. I think they should really put their differences aside because I feel like they would be really good friends. But at the same time, I don't think either one of them is right in this argument. So I hope that answers your question, Marie. It probably doesn't. Now, nobody asked me this specifically, but a lot of you have been asking me to talk about Heather Dubrow leaving Real Housewives of Orange County. I have a lot to say about this because I feel like Orange County has kind of been in a downward spiral. It's getting really trashy. I think last season it crossed the line in a lot of ways, talking about people's kids, people's husbands. It's like super trashy, but the one kind of redeeming quality was Heather Dubrow fancy pants. Like, she was bringing the class, and she's like the only one there who's actually rich, except Vicky. Vicky's kind of rich, but I think it's going to be a loss for the franchise, A, because she has a real class that that she brings to the girls. She is actually wealthy. I really like watching her and Terry. And I just like her. I think she's funny. So I think it's going to be a real loss. I'm curious to see who they're going to pick up. I heard a rumor that the producers are talking to Lydia from a couple seasons ago. If you don't remember her, she weighed like 100 pounds. And basically her whole storyline was that calling someone too skinny is the same as calling someone too fat, which I think we all know is definitely not true. And I'm not, if she comes back, I will not be down. So we'll see. It's going to be hard to fill the void of fancy pants. I really believe that. But we'll have to see what the Bravo producers come up with. Next question is from Kira. Your wedding will probably be beautiful, so can you please document the whole entire thing and more with the Snapchat world? So thank you, Kira. Love you. I've gone back and forth with this because I feel like weddings are like so special and so intimate, and I really want to kind of preserve the moment. But at the same time, like, you guys have been there for me and Ben's like entire relationship, so I really want you guys to be involved also. So I'm partnering up with The Knot, and they're going to help me kind of plan my entire wedding live on social media. We're going to figure out band, venue, date, things like that. They're going to help me out. And I think that for the most part, there's going to be a ton of content from the wedding that I'm going to share with you guys. But the actual moment, you know, when Ben and I do get married, we're not going to have any cameras. We were offered to do a bunch of TV stuff, but I think that's a little tacky. I think our whole life is public and certain things are special, and I kind of want to preserve that. But at the same time, like, Bravo, if you're listening, you didn't offer us a wedding special. And if you did, like, I would be down. So message me. This next question comes from Sophia. She says, what's your favorite after party restaurant / diner in New York? Such an important question, because after you go out, having the right thing to eat is perfect. And I love Orion Diner. It's on 23rd and 2nd. And they just have the best everything. It's the most classic diner, like fountain soda, waffle fries. I usually get chicken nuggets. Like, they are so good. They're such a professional diner, if you know what I mean. Big fan. I feel like you should all go there. And you might run into Gwunge, because I spend a lot of time there. Another thing I want to talk about that nobody formally asked me about is Bethany's ex-husband, Jason. He was actually arrested today for stalking, harassment, and I feel like vindicated for Bethany. Like, she's been saying all along that this dude is a fucking psychopath, and now she's finally free. She's exonerated. She's vindicated. Like, what a nut job. I heard he like attacked her and like followed her around, and I'm actually really happy for her, even though she's literally hands down one of the most annoying people I've ever met. I do feel for her in this situation, because her husband like stole her house, kidnapped her kid. Like, he was not a nice guy, and actually I'm really happy for her that this is finally being put to bed. She got her apartment back. He's probably gonna like be in jail, where he deserves to stay, for trying to like steal her house. So kudos to you, Bethany. I'm really happy for you, even though you're annoying as hell. Oh, and while we're on the topic of disgusting exes, I actually was just reading an article. Scott Disick was spotted with another woman. I can't even keep up with him and Courtney, like, if they were together, if they're not. Last I heard, they were, and he was just in Costa Rica, like, with the family, with the kids, with Courtney, and now he jets off to some other island and has his ass on someone else's face or whatever. Like, what's wrong with him? I feel like he went through a really dark time when the Kardashians kind of let him go, and he really learned from his mistakes and came back and was begging Courtney to take him back, and she finally did. She looks so good. She's so hot. What is he doing romping around in the pool with another girl? I don't understand. Okay, and the last thing I really want to give my unsolicited opinion on is this whole Misha Barton mental breakdown thing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, pause the podcast, go to the Daily Mail, watch the video that's gone viral. Basically, someone filmed Misha Barton like in her backyard having a total and complete mental fucking breakdown, talking into the void about her mom, about witches. I don't know. It's really scary. And it's like, what has happened to Marissa Cooper? Oh, how the mighty have fallen. She was prom queen at Harbor School, whatever it was. And like, now she can't even speak coherently. I feel it's actually a really sad video, and I don't want to make fun of it because mental health is a really serious issue, but maybe she should hire Taylor from The Bachelor to counsel her. Doesn't it feel good? Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is finally getting back to where it belongs. This week's episode was actually really good. Lots happened, and it was very rich. You know, I like seeing all the money. A lot of housewives, like, their homes are going into foreclosures. They're fighting about they can't pay their rent, their alimony. I don't like that. I like to see rich. And Beverly Hills can always be relied on to show us rich. And here's how. So we start off a lovely episode with a barbecue at Lisa Rinna's house. And she claims she's throwing a real barbecue, not like Kyle's barbecue or Erica's barbecue. Everyone wears jeans and sneakers. And all the ladies are really getting along, which is lovely, except for obviously Eden Sassoon, who I've completely turned on. But I'll get to that in a minute. I just want to say that I don't really get, like, how everyone's obsessed with Harry Hamlin. I don't find him, like a panty dropper kind of guy. But him making those pies, like, I got it. Like, I was into it, you know? I was feeling it. And everyone is, like, a little too obsessed with Harry Hamlin. Like, Dorit, Erica, like, chill the fuck out. You guys are married? I thought it was a little inappropriate. But Lisa is getting ready for the barbecue, and she's trying to find flour. And I personally, like, I bake a lot of cakes, so I know where the flour is in my house at all times. Like, not knowing where flour is definitely a skinny person problem that I personally cannot relate to. But Lisa Rinna obviously can. And her housekeeper found it in the garage, which I just thought was so hilarious. But the ladies come over and everyone's really getting along. I can never decide if Lisa Rinna has a nice house or not. Like, it has a really nice backyard and really nice views. But when they show the front, it looks like a shed. I'm confused. I'm just getting spoiled now with Housewives, but I prefer a Lisa Vanderpump. I prefer a Villa Rosa than to Lisa Rinna's house. But like I was saying, all the women come over. Everyone's really having a nice time. It looks like a fun barbecue. Like, I kind of wanted to be there because the food looked really good. And then Eden Sassoon just goes in again talking to Dorit. And one thing about Dorit this episode, she grew on me because she learned her fucking lesson. Snitches get stitches. So Eden's talking her ear off about how she thinks Kyle's an enabler and Kim's going down a dark path and Eden can really read through it. And Dorit is just like, listen, you know what? I don't feel comfortable. Go talk to Kyle because I don't want to be involved. And you know what? Good on you, Dorit. I never thought I would say those four words. Good on you, Dorit. But she's right. Who the fuck wants to be involved in the dirty Richard sisters thing? Like, the Richard sisters are finally fine for once. How is the storyline still about them? It always ends up being about them, even though they're fine. So Eden has a really, like, weird conversation with Kyle. Eden, like, is a self-titled spiritual healer, and she's not. She's a Pilates teacher. There's really a very big difference that I feel like I should point out, you know? The conversation's so awkward. Kyle is just, like, sitting there, just like, yeah, okay. And then the hug at the end was just horrible. They got nowhere in the conversation, which is why they ended up having another conversation at Kyle's house. But Eden needs to butt the fuck out. I understand that you're a previous alcoholic and you had issues with your sister. That does not make you a professional on alcoholics and their sisters. So, like, I know a lot about eating, but that doesn't make me an expert. Actually, bad analogy, but you know what I'm saying. She really needs to butt out. And at first I thought she was cool and, like, spiritual with her crystals, like, in a cool way. But now I'm really not digging it. And I have a feeling, like, I'm going to hate her even more than I hated Dorit, which is crazy because I didn't mind Dorit this episode. And I think everyone's in agreement with me on that, right? Now I want to talk about Kyle's new white party / Gatsby party. I'm sad that she's no longer doing a white party, but whatever. It's, like, iconic, but I'll move past it. I just have some questions about the legality of using someone else's house to throw your own party. And I get that, like, she's just trying to give the house publicity and the agency publicity on the show, but I feel like it's actually illegal. Like, did she get permission from the people who own the house to throw a fucking rager in their backyard? I feel like I wouldn't be okay with that if my real estate agent's wife threw, like, a rager in my backyard. I just feel like that's not appropriate, Kyle, but I'll move past it. But I just couldn't stop thinking about that the whole episode. Her party was really nice. Like, she shelled out the big bucks for this. But I want to read you something from Vulture.com's recap. They do the best recap. And Brian, who's the guy who wrote it, wrote something so profound that I must share. And it reads, anyway, Kyle is not throwing a white party this year because she must continue the infomercial that is Mauricio's property listing in Malibu by throwing a Gatsby party in the backyard. She even plans it while wearing the agency ball cap because Maurice, I've taken to calling him Maurice like Kim Richards does, isn't around to do it for her, and the agency, as the skinny girl of Beverly Hills, needed a little bit more branding. I just want to say that comparing the agency to skinny girl is one of the most brilliant things ever. Bethany takes credit for building this, like, amazing health brand all on her own, but she really did it through the show, and that's the only reason it sold for $150 million. And everyone's praising Mauricio, like, Mauricio, I'm so proud of you. Like, Lisa Rinna, like, licking his ass. You're gonna be a billionaire soon. Yeah, like, it's all thanks to Andy Cohen. Like, let's not forget where we came from, ladies. And I just really like that Brian from Vulture.com pointed that out, because, like, chill, we've watched Kyle Richards go from little house to little house to not so little house to, like, a pretty big house. Like, it's all because of the show. Please, let's not forget that. But she threw a nice party, and I'm getting off track. The party was really nice. I love Lisa Rinna and Eileen's friendship. Like, I hate Lisa Rinna in all regards, except with her friendship with Eileen. They really are good friends, and they're so fun. Like, I wanted to hang out with them at the party. Like, they were wasted, dancing, eating, being mean to PK. Like, that's what I liked. And I loved, loved, loved when PK came over to Erica and tried to, like, throw shade, and she was just not having it. PK was literally getting doors slammed in his face at every step of the way. When he told Lisa Rinna and Eileen that they looked like glamorous Muppets, like, they were not having it. He really needs to lock himself in a closet and never come out, because every time I start to, like, almost like Dorit, I either remember that she's married to PK or he does something disgusting to remind me that he's disgusting. So he was kind of ruining the party for me. But who really ruined the party for me was Ed and Sassoon. First of all, to come up to someone at their own party is just downright disrespectful. And Kyle's busy. Like, she has guests. The last thing she wants to do is sit at a fucking table and talk to you about her sister's sobriety. And the more Eden inserts herself, the more I literally cannot stand her. And I couldn't stand her even more because that wig was, like, wigging me out. Like, I couldn't take her seriously. And she was giving me, like, really creepy stalker vibes in her little black bob. And I'm going to quote Brian Moylan from Vulture.com one more time because he perfectly encapsulates the Eden slash Richards fiasco. Ready? Eden tells them that she sees her and her sister's relationship in them and she wants to help. The problem is, neither of them want her help. They don't know her. She has been nothing but weird around them. And their messed up dynamic is finally at a decent place after a couple of years of not talking. They need Eden like Kim needs to rob another Target. I just want Kim and Kyle to know that I'm there for them, Eden says. Oh, they know. We all know. The problem isn't that they don't know. The problem is that she's there too damn much. You know how she brought Lisa Rinna a bottle of love? Well, maybe the sisters Richards need to give Eden a bottle of chill. So I just want to say, Brian, thank you for doing God's work. He writes amazing recaps on Vulture.com, and I really recommend that you read them. But that just totally sums up exactly what's going on. Don't offer to help people if A, they don't need help, and B, they don't want your fucking help. Or just take, it's nice of you to offer your help, but take a hint the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, when someone says they don't want you getting involved. Like, I just can't stand people who aren't self-aware, you know? It really makes me frustrated. So I don't know what's going to happen with Eden. I hope she develops more as a character. Like, we learn more about who her baby daddy was. Like, I want to learn more about her besides the fact that she's an alcoholic and drinks smoothies in her house. By the way, her house is super cute. It literally looks like Joanna Gaines designed it. But I really just want to learn more about her because if she's, her whole thing is going to be the Richard sisters this season. I think I can say, and I speak for everyone, that I've had enough of the Richard sisters. They're done. They're fine. Can we move on to another sister, another family, another something? Because I can't deal anymore. But that wraps up our Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recap. Thank you. Now, we're almost out of time, but there's something I really want to talk about, a piece of breaking news that we all found out this week, and that's Beyoncé is pregnant with twins. And while I'm happy for her, I don't know if you all know this, but I'm a part of, I really don't like the word conspiracy theory because it implies that it's not true when I fully believe it to be true that Beyoncé 100% did not carry Blue Ivy in her own stomach, that she had a surrogate. And I'll give you the reasons why, and I don't want anyone to get offended. I know the people who love Beyoncé are very specific, and I get a lot of hate mail calling me racist because sometimes I speak out against Beyoncé. I don't really see how that's racist, but okay. First of all, when Beyoncé was quote-unquote pregnant with Blue Ivy, there were absolutely no photos of her in a bikini or in a bathing suit during her entire pregnancy except one 3 months in where she literally looked like she was pushing out her stomach and she had a big lunch. Like, I can do that too. I'm not impressed. Second of all, mysteriously, her HBO documentary ended right before she found out she was pregnant, so we couldn't watch the pregnancy. All those pictures she put out on her website and her Instagram of her belly growing have no head in it. It could be someone else's belly. Third, and my most important point that I really encourage you all to research, is Beyoncé went on an Australian TV show while she was pregnant, and she walks out. As she greets the host, she sits down, and as she sits, she bends down. Her belly literally folds. Like, it looks like a pillow, like, folding. You should all just look it up. Look up Beyoncé Australian TV show stomach. Because I've never been pregnant, but I have known people who have been pregnant, and none of their stomachs fold like that. It's completely unnatural. And I really, truly, in my soul, believe that she did not carry that child. But now she's pregnant with twins, and maybe she wants to shut down the haters because there are a lot of people who said she didn't carry the baby. But now she's pregnant and is like, fuck yeah, bitches, I'm doing a fucking photo shoot with my fucking belly and you're all going to see it. So while I'm still going to study the photos, see if there's any inconsistencies and maybe she's not carrying it, I might believe this time that she might be carrying the twins. And I don't know. I just feel like she couldn't get pregnant the first time, which is totally fine and totally natural. Juliana Rancic talked about it. She had a gestational carrier. There's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. But I just feel like there was some shadiness behind it. Like, why did they have to take out an entire floor of Lenox Hill? Do you realize Lenox Hill is a hospital in New York where Beyonce gave birth? They took up the entire floor. Like, do you realize how selfish that is? How many rooms that went unused where people needed them? Like, sorry, Beyonce, that's fucking selfish. What the hell were you hiding that you needed an entire floor closed off? You're not fucking Michelle Obama, lady. Lady, I'm gonna get so much hate because people are obsessed with Beyonce. And like when I went off about her Rachel Roy Lemonade, Becky with the good hair thing, I literally got hate mail on Facebook. So I'm not gonna really go into it. But I encourage you all to do your own research. Think for yourselves, you know? Don't listen to what the mainstream media says. Don't listen to what Entertainment Tonight says because they don't know. I'm a boots on the ground researcher and I find out things for you guys and I do it for you. So you're welcome, first of all. Second of all, thank you so much for following along with the podcast. I'm so happy that you guys are liking it. Again, you can always email me, tweet me, message me on Instagram. If there's anything you want me to cover specifically, any shows you want me to do recaps of, I really love doing the recaps. I really love you guys. Thank you all for your constant love and support. Please, please add me on Snapchat at Girl With No Job. And please vote for me in the Shorty Awards because I really want to win and I don't want to lose two times in a row. So thank you all so very much. It's been a great pleasure being your host today, and I hope you all have a great weekend. Ta-ta for now!